Well, good morning. It is a good thing to be able to sing with the people of God. I did not do that today because I'm losing my voice. I'm trying to suck down lemon water up here in the front. But man, I miss it. I miss it. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're able to partake and sing out your heart. Last week, we spent the entire message on who holds the keys of the kingdom. We went through the what and the who. So what is the right confession? We talked about Peter and how Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? Some are saying Jeremiah, some Elijah. Some are saying another prophet, but who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was the right confession. And there's also the church oversees the who. So those that are the right confessors, we saw in Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5, that if there are people that are erring and are not showing signs of life, the church is to remove them. If they're not showing works of repentance and they're not showing fruit in their life and they're continuing to sin, they're continuing to go astray, the church removes them from that. So the church protects the what and oversees the who. And today we're going to look at, how does this work together then? How does the church function in this way? We'll look at three different groups: pastors, the congregation, and then individuals. Pastors, what on earth do these fellas do then if we're a congregational church? Congregation, what are they to do? And then individually or personally, what's your role in all this? If you're a member, what's your part? So first, let's start with pastors. Pastors. The first point here is pastors equip in Ephesians 4. If you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, look at verses 11 through 13. As you're turning there, let me thank you for those who have been praying for my bride. She had her wisdom teeth taken out. She is at home looking like a chipmunk. But keep praying for her she'll be able to heal up well. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 13. And he gave the apostles, speaking of Christ, looking back at verse number 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What's that gift? Look down at verse 11. And he gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ gave gifts to the church. We see this in verse 7. Some of those gifts are displayed in differing roles in verse 11. And as I mentioned a few weeks back, the term shepherd is synonymous with the word here, pastor. In fact, some of your translations, you have the NESB or others, they may say, actually just translated pastor here. So the pastors within the church are to equip the flock. The word equip means to restore, to make whole. If you went back to Matthew 4:21 and saw where Christ is calling disciples, and he sees James and John, and they're mending their nets in Matthew 4:21, the word mending is the verb form of this word here. To equip is to restore. It's to make whole. It's to make complete. So through the word, the hearers become whole. So as a pastor preaches the word, as I'm doing right now, as you listen, as you learn, and as you apply, you are being made whole. Because this is based on what I say, yes or no? No. It's based on the word of God, which we saw 3-4 weeks ago. This is our authoritative word of God. It's the scriptures. This is where we find truth. This is where we find our direction. This is where we find our guide. So as you hear the very words of God, as you listen and as you learn and as you apply, you are made whole, not by my doing, right? It's not my persuasiveness. It's not some great illustration. It's the word of God and it's the spirit of God that change a heart. So if anything good comes out of any message, who gets the glory? Christ. Who can make you whole? It's not me. It's the Lord. So we see as the pastor preaches, this is one of his things that he does to equip the church. Not the only function pastors have, but it's one of them. But being a pastor doesn't mean that you do all the work. That's the point of this text here. What's the old Chinese proverb? You give a poor man a fish and you feed him for a day. You teach him to fish and you give him an occupation that'll feed him for a lifetime. So spiritually speaking, this is the pastor's job. It's not to spoon feed people and keep giving you fish. Does that make sense? We're actually supposed to teach you and train you to go fish for men. Go do the work of the ministry. Go do it. So we are to equip, you are to do the work, as we see in this very text. So pastors are to equip. Secondly, this is not an exhaustive list for to look at. The second one here is to oversee. Second one, oversee, 1 Peter 5, flip over there. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. We don't have time to look at every single thing a pastor is supposed to be doing in this passage, in this idea today, as we're trying to see how we work together. But 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4, we saw this back when we went through the different distinctives, what makes us distinct. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, Peter himself speaking, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in charge, excuse me, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherds appear, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, the pastors are to equip. At 1 Peter 5 here, they are to oversee the flock of God. What does oversight mean? This verb form, it's a verb form of the word bishop. And you see, we talked about this a few weeks back where we see the word elder here in this passage. We see the word shepherd or pastor. We see the word oversight or the verb form of bishop. So elder, pastor, bishop. These three terms are used synonymously to describe the same office in the New Testament as that of the pastor. But he says here in verse number one, you notice he says elders, plural. It's plural. Just meaning in that sense that there's an equality within the pastors. So Glenn and I have different responsibilities, but we have the same calling. Does that make sense? 1 Timothy 3 shows us there's the same calling. Man desires office of a bishop, pastor, elder. He desires a good thing. So we have the same calling. Glenn's going to answer to God just like I do when it comes to this text. We both have to answer to the Lord for how we're shepherding the flock of God. He's not as an assistant or an associate or however you want to put it, worship pastor. He's not a pastor in diapers, right? He's not a pastor in training. He's a pastor that will answer to the Lord for how he's done his job, as am I. And it's a fearful thing, if I'm honest with you. We'll see later in Hebrews 13, we give an account for the very souls that we oversee. So how are we to care for you? Micromanage? How are we to care for you? Like a boss that can't stop looking over your shoulder? Like a nagging spouse? How are we to show our care and concern? Well, this text lays out some great ground rules for us to follow and for you to hold our feet to the fire on. What are they? We are to willingly and eagerly exercise oversight. We are not to be domineering. This is not a dictatorship. This is not pastors say, you do. I'm the sole authority. No, the Bible's the sole authority. So we're not domineering. They're not to be doing this job for shameful gain. We've seen this 80s, 90s, you know, 2000s, 2010. We've seen pastors, not just all that are on television, but some using this office for shameful gain. We're to be examples of the flock. And if we handle our position well, and if we are faithful, what does it say here? When the chief shepherd appears, when Christ appears, we will receive a crown. Pastors will answer the Lord for how they handle their office. There are positives, exercise oversight, be an example, receive a crown. There's negatives, don't be domineering, don't use your office for shameful gain. Let me beg you, let me encourage you and beg you, pray for us that we would fulfill this text. I want to be faithful to this text. At some point in time, the Lord takes me home or I retire. Some point in time, I want this to be said of me. I actually fulfilled this passage. I have a long way to go. I want to get there, but I'm asking you, pray for me, pray for Glenn, that we would do this, that we would fulfill this text here in 1 Peter 5. So that's pastors, a quick, brief flyby on pastors. I mean, let's look at the congregation. We saw this a little bit last week. Congregation, What is their relationship to pastors? Turn into your Bible to Hebrews 13, 17. There are two other passages here, but let's look specifically at Hebrews 13, 17. As you're turning there, I'll read 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 Timothy 5 to you. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Excuse me, 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Hebrews 13, 17, if you're there, look at this text with me. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? Why? For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who would give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So it doesn't help you if I come in on Sunday like, oh, you guys are killing me, right? Does that help you? Is that going to be good for you? No, it's not going to be good for you. But there's great weight in this text. You are to obey and to submit joyfully, but we also are to watch over your souls. Did you read that? What does that mean? That we are to watch over your souls as those who will give an account. This verse makes you think twice about being a pastor. Because what if you talk to somebody in your church that does not want to do the will of God? How do you watch over their soul? How do you watch over the soul of someone who is so sporadic in their attendance? How do I care for you if you won't come? How do we do it? I have to give an account to the Almighty Creator and say, I know brother so-and-so, I know sister so-and-so, because they're in our church, they were members, and I cared for their soul, but how can I care if we don't know you? How can I care if you're not present? How can I care if you're not involved? That's a difficult task. And why would you obey? Why would you submit? Hopefully, this becomes easier if we're following 1 Peter 5, right? If we're not domineering, if we're not trying to use our office for shameful gain, if we're trying to, Ephesians 4, if we're trying to equip you, trying to make you whole through the preaching of the word, hopefully you just go, man, I love the word of God. I love hearing the word of God. I want to obey the word of God. If that's in you, this makes the job of working together so much easier. I actually believe, so when we talk about this and we discuss, we're told you we're talking through this series on the church, and as we discuss the church and how you can be involved over the next coming weeks and how our church can be more like God would have us be, the desire of this is not to see 20 more people come through the doors. What's the desire? My actual desire is that your souls would be taken care of, that you would actually do what Scripture would have you do, because I actually believe you're the better for it. Are you not? Are you better or worse if you obey the very words of God? So the goal of this series is not let's get more people in the door. The goal of this series, folks, we're caring for your soul. Do what Scripture would have you do. If we are the church, people will come because we will be making disciples. I was talking about last week, we got to clean home. We got to clean the house first. Start with the house of God. So we are to care for your souls, and you are to obey and submit in this process. I actually believe that you individually, if you're a Christian, will give account to our Savior. And I don't want it on that day to be wood, hay, and stubble. Nor do I want to stand before the Lord and go, I don't know who they were. I barely saw them. I also don't want to get to the Lord on that day and say, I just didn't like them. They're a pain in the rump. I don't want to do it begrudgingly. But to love people because God loves people. This is how we work together. One writer summed this up beautifully by saying this. Listen to this. Members of the church have the responsibility to obey their spiritual leaders. Wise and God-honoring leaders watch over the church and have the best in mind for their followers. These leaders are concerned for the deepest needs of those in their fellowship. The leaders also take on great responsibility to watch over their souls of those in their congregation. They are accountable to God. Because of this grave responsibility, cooperative followers can greatly ease the burden of leadership. Too many believers create problems and tension for their leaders through endless complaints and interpersonal conflicts. How welcome would cheerfulness, helpfulness, and loyalty be to those that are leading your church? So how does this work? We consider, you know, we are congregational, but how does this work that we are to submit at the same time to your leaders? We'll get to this in a second. But let me give you another way of thinking this. And I heard this illustration about this, and I thought it was a fantastic way to describe how church works together. So think of dumbbells and a jump rope, okay? So I have dumbbells and a jump rope. You can tell I use those often. I say that sarcastically. But you as a congregation, you watch me as I work out. You sitting here in your lawn chairs, sipping tea, watching me do all the work. You're doing great. Doing great, Pastor. Pump it. Jump it. You got it. That's option one, scenario one. Let me tell you, it would be short-lived because I last about 5 minutes. Scenario two, you maintain your spot in the lawn chair while shouting out to me all the things I need to do. Right? Work harder. Jump higher. Move the rope faster while not doing anything yourself other than giving guidance and instruction. Or scenario number three, I walk into the section of lawn chairs, help everybody out of their chair, and we learn how to do the work together. Which of those three scenarios seems like what Scripture would have us do? It's the third. We teach, we equip, you have to do the work. It's not a one-man band. It's not congregation tells the pastors, here's the ministry you should be doing. It's the pastors are teaching from the Word of God. This is how we do the work. Do it with us. Grab the weight. Grab the rope. Get involved. Get plugged in. So that's congregation's relationship to the pastors. But what about the relationship within themselves to other members? Let me read. Relationship to individuals. Turn over to Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. This ties in with 1 Corinthians 5, as we talked about last week, in overseeing the who. Galatians 6, verse 1 through 2. Galatians 6, it says here, brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Some keys here, right? If you see somebody in sin, first recognize, are you spiritual? Are you mature? If you are, then take the next step. Restore them, how? With the rod. No, with a spirit of gentleness. Keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Last week we saw again how the congregation oversees the what and the who. How important it is as we vote people into our body, that's a great responsibility. You're affirming to the world, this person is indeed a confessor of Christ. We see fruit in their life, and we affirm this, and we welcome them into the body. There are over 50 other texts in the New Testament that talk about this one another relationship that go along with this. And I want to focus mainly, we're not going to look at all of them today. I want to focus mainly on one aspect, and that of accountability, as seen here in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. We are a body. We work together. We're to keep each other accountable for the work. Galatians 6 shows this, shows the diversity of this word. Why? When one is sinning, look at chapter 6, verse number 1. When one is sinning, what are we to do? Restore them. That word restore, we looked at that, talked about this in Matthew 4:21. Remember the disciples, James and John, were mending their nets, restoring, making whole. It's the same word. Restore, your job, restore. It's funny because that's the same word pastors are to equip, restore. Pastor teaches, congregation works it out. Restore, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore them in gentleness. Yet the next verse tells us, what does it tell us in verse 2? It's not just we're out to find people that are struggling with sin. We're not here to judge everyone. Hey, man, I can't, I've got my binoculars on. Who can I take down today? What's verse 2 say? Bear the burdens of each other. How do you do that if you don't know anyone here? How do you do that if you're sporadic? How do you do that if you're not plugged in? Do you even know them? Do you know the members? Do you know the body here? Will you equally know everyone in the church? No. Should you know a good amount of the people in the church? Yes. Yes. How can you bear their burdens if you don't know what burdens they have? How would you know their burdens? Ask a simple question. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. No, really, how are you really doing? We're going through some tough times. How can I help you, brother? How can I help you, sister? How can I help bear that burden? We're going through financial. Grab my wallet. Going through physical. Going through spiritual. Going through emotional. How can we help? How can we help bear your burden and do what? So fulfill the law of Christ. We are to know each other. Part of this was addressed in Ephesians 4:11 through 13, right? He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to equip the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. Why? For building up of the body of Christ until we all attain of the unity of the faith of the body, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. The pastors equip the saints to the works. So how does this accountability show itself within the body? One pastor said, gifted leaders are supposed to equip the saints, but the saints do not call a pastor and pay him to do their work. They call him and follow his leadership as he, through the word, equips them to do the job. The members of the church grow by feeding on the word and then ministering to each other. Let me repeat that. The members of the church grow by feeding on the word and then ministering to each other. You are to do the work of ministering to each other until we all are perfect. Look around. How many perfect Christians do you see? Start looking this way. Do you see one? No. Look left, look right? No. Help me get there. Help your brother, help your sister get there. It's your job. You equip, you hear the word, you listen, you learn, apply, then you go help mend the net, go help restore, you go help make others whole by caring for them, by restoring them if sins in their life, by bearing their burden, by helping them become to a mature man or a mature woman in Christ. It's your job. It's your calling. Do the work of the ministry. Listen, folks, one day we will be like him. Amen. She longed for that day. He longed for that day. No more sin. No more night. No more sorrow. We're not there now. We're not there yet. Live in the present. Look to the future. But help us. Help each other along the road. Care. Actually care for someone other than yourself. Love your brother. Bear the burden. So fulfill the law of Christ. Folks, this is an unbelievably quick flyby on a relationship between a church and its pastor, between a congregation and the individuals. And before we wrap up, and I want you to feel like we're closing in the next 5 seconds, we're not. Before we wrap up, I want to see, well, then how does this all work? So we're talking about we're congregational, so we hold these keys. What does that look like for congregational authority? Yeah, we're supposed to submit to those. So first, this next slide here. So I want you to see this little pyramid. Pastors, you, pastor, you see congregation, and you see you. Okay? So we have this relationship here at LBC. How does this work in this connection? I want you to worry about who's on top. Well, you said pastors are on top. Does that mean? I mean, as a congregation, it's a triangle. It's a triangle, okay? Relax. Same thing as the Trinity. They're all equal. So here's pastors, you, congregation. How does this work? So this next slide here, I want you to see this. This is not unique to me. I'm not the one that came up with this. I don't even know who the original author is because I've seen it multiple places. But first, let's look at pastors of congregation. We walked through this. What's the pastor's job to the congregation? Equip and shepherd. What's the congregation's responsibility to their pastor? Submit, respect, right? What about pastors and you? Pastor's responsibility to you, oversight and to watch. We watch for your souls as those that are given account. What about your responsibility to pastors? Submit and respect. What about your responsibility to you and the congregation? There's accountability going. You have a responsibility individually to the whole, correct? And the whole has a responsibility to who? To you. We're working together in this process. You are not more important than the pastor. The pastor is not more important than you. The congregation is not more important than the pastor. The congregation is not more important than you because you are the congregation and the pastor is a part of the congregation. How many votes do I get when we vote in our business meeting? One. Oh, pastor voted. That's worth 10 points. Charter member, 25. Good for you. That's not a bad thing to be a charter member. It's not a bad thing to be a pastor, but we believe we all have an equal voice when it comes to seeing and protecting the what and the who. Is this person a believer? Should we allow them into our body? Aye, yay, or nay, no. That's a great responsibility we all have together. So then how does this work in a decision? So I do this with great hesitation because I'm going to show you an example of how this may work. Let me use this word again, example, okay? So when it does, sometimes people get set, this is the only way or that these are the only categories and you may shift these around. God bless you if you do. Please do not see this as authoritative PowerPoint chart, okay? You guys got this? Okay, next slide here, next slide. So I want you to see, here's a part of this decision that can be made. Think of these two lines here. Okay, we got two lines. One line, horizontal, represents clarity, meaning is it in the Word of God or not? Clarity. Far left would be less clear, far right, more clear. Then I want you to see seriousness. How serious is this situation? Very bottom, the vertical line, very bottom, not serious, very top. Very serious. Does that make sense to you? Can you follow along with this graph? Okay. So there are things that are very serious and very clear. Top right. We agree to this? There are things in Scripture very serious, very clear. We'll get to an example of that. There are things that are clear but are less serious. There are things that are serious but are less clear, and there are things that are less clear and less serious. Which one of these usually leads to most church divisions? Usually less clear and less serious. It should be red. The carpet should be blue. You're like, what on earth are we doing? Right? So many times, idiotic disagreements come out of this numbskull category. Less clear, less serious. So what are some examples, por ejemplo, examples of what these may look like? Right, next slide here. Okay, is Jesus God? Very clear, very serious. Is Jesus God? Very clear, very serious. Okay, the next one, bottom right. Not serious, but clear. Should we sit at tables to take communion? It's clear we should take communion. The form where we're sitting, less serious. Does that make sense? It's an example. Come up with your own if you don't like. You hate these examples, good for you, okay? Pick up your own. should we sit at tables to take communion? Well, Jesus sat at a table when he took communion, when he did the Last Supper. How come we don't do that? It wasn't commanded. It's clear we should do communion. Less clear on the exact function or form of what that looks like. Our church has, as I found out, we have a blanket. I call it a blanket, not a covering cloth. I've never been in a church that does it that way. Less serious. It's not clear. Okay? Can it still be used? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the key is obey the command to do communion. Does that make sense? How? Less serious. We have the top left here. Should new members have to go to a class? Well, it's very serious because we're dealing with membership. We're dealing with adding people into the body. Matthew 16, 18, 1 Corinthians 5, knowing our membership, protecting the what, overseeing the who. It's very serious. But it's less clear. We don't see. Do you see a membership class in Scripture? When did that take place? But should we have one? Is it bad to have one? It's a good question. Well, who answers for these things? Bottom one. Should LBC pay for Awana Derby cars? I try to think of the most meaningless thing I could. If you think this is an attack on Awana Derby cars, please relax. I was trying to think of this as something that's current here in our situation. Really, this should not be a big deal. Okay, that's my thinking on it. If you disagree and you think that every last derby car should be paid for by someone else, fork it up. Send a check tomorrow. Okay, so looking through these, let me encourage you. Here are some parameters on who should make these decisions. Is this exhaustive? No, these are, anybody know what I'm going to say? Examples of how this may work and function. Okay, next one. Very serious, very clear. Congregation, they hold the keys to the kingdom. They oversee the what, they oversee the who. Is Jesus God? Absolutely. Folks, you need to affirm this, you need to reaffirm this. We talked about this last week. We talked about how you listen, even on Sunday morning. In Galatians 1, Paul said, if anybody comes preaching another gospel, what's your responsibility? Let him be anathema. Every Sunday you come, you are partaking in protecting the what? Every Sunday, protect the gospel. And if we do not preach the gospel, get us out. Get us out. So is Jesus God? That's very serious. Should we dismiss somebody because of sin? That's very serious to call somebody publicly an unrepentant, unsaved being. That's a very serious charge. So the congregation needs to be a part of this process. What about that bottom right? Communion at tables. Well, this could be pastors, deacons, sometimes congregation can be involved in some of this. But this is something you could hand over to pastors and deacons. This is not that great of a deal. Does that make sense? It's something, communion, very clear. We need to make sure we're doing that. But sitting at tables, we can give or take on that. Top left one. Remember we talked about members class. This is one that I would say this is where you follow the leading. You submit to the leading of your pastors in this way. Okay, this is serious, but it's less clear. This is for the spiritual well-being of the church. Say, I could follow my pastor in this way. If we think we need to have a membership class, I think we do. I think it needs to be pretty intensive because I'm very cautious about affirming to the world, we believe this person to be a member of the body of Christ and we want them to be a part of our body. We believe they will be faithful and fruitful in the work of God. I want to take those steps slowly and cautiously because I think it's a great, great, and grave danger to our church if we just let anybody in. We're to protect the who, oversee the who. So as we come, I don't know what that would look like, how many classes it may be, but I want to make sure when they're standing before you and maybe they need to give their testimony before the whole church so you can hear, are they part of the who? And you can affirm with your voice, not just going off our recommendation, you can affirm, I actually believe them. So however that needs to look, but this is an area where you could say, you know, I can submit to this one because it's serious, but it's less clear. I could follow in this way. Then the last one, Awana cars, right? Derby cars. This one you can hand off to staff and directors. You know what? The Awana commander makes a decision. They have a budget. Do what's best with your budget. They hand in receipts. Be a wise steward. We can trust them with that. So you don't have to freak out. Well, that's my money. It's not your money. Did you give it to the church? Did you give it to the Lord? Or is it with your, at the bottom of your note, this is mine and it better be used for every penny how I see fit? Well, it's not God's then, is it? Is it God's or yours? If you gave it to him, let him keep it. And let the people that you voted in and entrusted to do the work, let them do the work with that responsibility. So if you come in, I hate the color they painted it. Relax. It's not your church. It's God's. He's the head. We're part. In those areas that we're like, oh, this less serious, less clear, we need to really tone it down to mute. Okay? Hit the mute button and say, I need to relax. We're not talking about Jesus is God or not. We're not talking about the virgin birth. We're talking about colors and schemes and designs and looks and pine car derbies. Relax. Trust a sovereign Lord. You believe he's sovereign? Believe he's okay if a piece of wood is paid for or not? I mean, Jesus was a carpenter, so maybe he made these. You know, we don't know. But I say that facetiously, but folks, we need to think through, what do we really get in or up in arms over? It needs to be the things that are clear and serious. In other areas, we need to give grace. I didn't like that last song, give grace. I love that last song. We should sing it every week. We're not going to. Give grace. Give grace. You can relax and give grace to each other because you're bearing the burden of each other. Not the whole congregation's bearing your burden every week. We bear the burdens of each other. We don't revolve the church around you. We revolve the church around our Savior. And we try to serve each other as he served, as he gave, as he came, as he died. Try to mimic his life towards one another. So these are some examples. Did I stress examples enough? These are some examples to help us try to clear out. What does this look like? We're congregational, and yet we're still supposed to submit to our authorities. What does this look like? We're congregational, but I'm still part of it. What's my involvement in the process? So what does this mean for you? What does this mean for you? As last week, I urged you, listen attentively to the teaching of the word. Make sure that what is taught is the word of God. When you come, you're an active participant. You're an active participant in protecting the what? Protect the gospel. Jesus Christ is God. He is the Messiah. He did die on the cross for our sins. And if you accept him today, you're saved. Not by works that you've done, not by your own doing, but according to his riches, his kindness, his grace. So listen attentively. Secondly, I beg you, as I did earlier, pray for your pastors. Pray for us. Pray for your deacons. Pray for the deacons that they would serve and be an example of serving. Pray that we would fulfill, Glenn and I, we would fulfill 1 Peter 5. You know, I don't know how else to explain. You know how desperately I want to fulfill that passage. Like a husband, don't you want to fulfill Ephesians 5? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Don't you feel so often like you fail? That's how I feel about my job. That's how I come home and I feel like I want to love my wife like Christ loved the church. I don't feel like I do that all the time. I want to. I want to fulfill Ephesians 5 in home. I want to fulfill 1 Peter 5 in my vocation. Pray that we will. Don't pray that we'll be what you'd want us to be. Pray that we'll fulfill this passage. Lastly, be present. Be here. Know your brother and your sister in Christ. How can you bear the burdens of those you don't know? How? Be here. In fact, when we sit down, let me give you something you can do. You ready? Homework for today. When we sit down at our tables and we're eating, eat with somebody you've never sat down with before. And let me encourage you, do one thing. Ask one question at the table. What's your favorite attribute of God? Start with that. That may spur some great spiritual conversation. After that, talk about March Madness. Talk about how Oregon blew it, right? You talk about that later. You can talk about your favorite movie, but start at least with one. What's your favorite attribute of God? How are you doing? Can we pray? Let's pray together. Let's pray one time. Bear one of those burdens. Know each other. Be present.